A number of years ago, when teaching religion to high school juniors, I was challenged by one of them in our study of the Gospels, challenged in a good way, in which he said, "Father, you keep reminding us that the word gospel means good news. But to me, and sometimes it just doesn't seem like good news, because what it calls us to, what it says, is kind of not very good. It kind of kills our fun. And secondly, it doesn't feel much like news because we've all heard it before. We've heard all those stories." Well, I think the second part of that is significant. As I said at the beginning of today's gospel, this gospel story is very familiar to us. And indeed, the whole of Jesus' life is very familiar to us. And the danger is that we listen to it each year as if we have nothing else to learn. And that's a mistake. Because while the words may never change, we change. And how the Spirit wants to speak to us at any particular time in our life may be very much impacted by our ability to hear these familiar stories, but now in the circumstances in which we live. I don't know where you are with this story. You might find yourself focusing on the younger son, upon obviously the story of immaturity and selfishness, so much so that this boy basically says, "Father, I want you to act as if you're dead because I want my inheritance," because of course that's the normal way it would be happening. That's pretty insulting. And a young man who thinks he knows what is right and goes off and of course then falls in without much strength, separated from the support of his own family, falls into all sorts of temptations and sins. Not hard to imagine, nor is it particularly hard to imagine that somebody like that would reach a point and said, "My life is just pretty miserable. I've got to do something about this." And even if it means groveling and bringing myself back home and just begging to somehow or other give me food and give me a job, then I'm willing to do it. Maybe more out of desperation than out of real contrition. Or some of us may take a look at that older son from our own perspective of basically being good religious people and say, "I get it. Of course the guy's not happy. He's been the faithful one, the religious one, the one that's kept coming to Mass, the one who's tried to take the rules seriously, the one who has continuously been sensitive to the feelings of his father, but maybe the one who's been wrapped up a little bit too much in his own sense of being right and being good and not open enough to the surprises of love, the surprises which come each day in which we keep hearing the rewards and feeling the rewards of leading a good life. But you know, the truth is, today's gospel is not basically about either of the sons. The truth is that today's gospel is about the Father and everything that follows from that. And I'd like to leave you with just one perspective on the action of the Father. The beginning of the story, the Father is obviously not pleased by the decisions that his son makes, but he respects them because, forgive the language, even though the boy is an idiot, he's of an age where he can make decisions and have to live with the consequences. And so the father lets him, knowing that this is a disaster in the making, knowing that his son is going to suffer. And it's not hard to imagine where a loving parent would himself or herself suffer at the mere knowledge that this is going to not end well, and yet respects that. In that sense, the Father's love is very, very patient. It says, "I can't give in to my feelings of impatience and just lock him up in a room and say, 'No, you can't do this.' I have to patiently wait for him to come to an awareness of his own life, an awareness of the the consequences that his decisions have on the lives of the other. An awareness of what really matters in life, not momentary pleasures or not wealth or whatever, but a sense of peace and being connected with God and with family. I've got to wait for that. And I wish I could just take him and shake him and it would happen. But it doesn't happen that way. And so my love must be patient. And then the story continues, of course, and the son does his bit and wastes all his money and comes to some level of awareness, maybe not the purest, but at least comes to realize that, man, I've made some bad choices and now I've got to make some good ones. And I love the little section of the gospel passage where Jesus, where the younger son then rehearses his speech, right? How many of us have ever done something like that when we've needed to apologize, even if we've never quite gotten to it or we've needed to write a somewhat difficult letter, and we practice it, maybe even write it down? And that's what the younger son does. He's all prepared. He's got his speech ready. He's ready to grovel. He's ready to say, I'm sorry. He's ready to claim as best he can his own idiocy. And the image of the Father in those circumstances is so beautiful. Because what the gospel tells us, what this parable tells us, it is as if the Father has been standing on a hill all this time, looking in the direction of his son, just waiting for some clue that the boy was going to turn around and look back home and come back home. And the moment that the son does this, the gospel parable tells us that now his love, rather than manifesting itself in patience, manifests itself in impatience. He is pictured as rushing out to meet the son. He doesn't make the son come to him. And indeed, when they do meet, and when the son begins his prepared speech, the father cuts him off and says, no, no. You're back, you're alive, now we must celebrate. I suggest to you that this, although this parable is really about the Father and about the quality of his love, that his love is both patient toward us and impatient toward us, it of course has implications for our own lives. And if we just think about our own commitment to be people of love in our relationship toward God and especially in our relationship to others, how many times have we had to say that the most loving thing to do in these circumstances is to be patient, to let the person I love or to let these people or whatever it is make decisions, but knowing that I'm here? And at what times have we had to choose to manifest the impatient face of our love and say, I cannot wait any longer. I must take the initiative. I must be immediate and enthusiastic in my response. The Gospels are all about Jesus teaching us how it is that we are to live out what he has called the two great commandments, to love God and to love each other. And I think in today's parable, in the context of this great gift of forgiveness, which obviously we are celebrating and marking during this season of Lent, even more basically, even more fundamentally, we are being told something very important about the nature of love.